Hi, everyone. This is Kimberly.
And this is Katie.
And you're listening to A Date with Dateline. Today's episode is brought to you by the letter E.
Is it?
No, I don't know. Oh. The letter J for jagged. Isn't that what they would do on Sesame Street?
But jagged would not be the thing they would go for. They'd be like, the letter J for jolly. Is it jolly? For jelly bean.
Jolly is spelled with a J, if you were wondering. But jelly bean is probably more like what they would use. Or just jelly.
Or jump. Like... Jump.
Yeah, jump.
Jump would be what they would use.
What I was trying to say is this episode is dedicated to our Patronus, Claire P., who has been our Patronus since the very beginning. Since a year ago, pretty much, when we started our Patreon. Yeah. Could you die? I want to cry. Claire, let me tell you a little bit about Claire. She lives in Texas and has not yet appeared on a Dateline.
You're winning. You did it.
She also, to my knowledge, survived Whamageddon.
Impressive. Oh my gosh.
She is a makeup junkie like you.
Oh, Claire.
She loves cats. The animal. I'm not sure how she feels about angelical cats. I don't know. But she's coming to CrimeCon so we can ask her.
I can't wait.
Yes. She also said she talked to me about dogs and her converting to Judaism. Because those are things I like to talk about, I guess.
That sounds about right.
It does. Maybe throw in King of the Hill and Seinfeld.
Like if I had to describe you and someone like, was like...
She's Jewish and she loves dogs.
Yeah, give me the top five bullet points.
Yeah.
Jewish and loves dogs would be in that top five. So she nailed it. So she did it. Yeah.
No, she did it. We love Claire. And also, if you want to join us at Patreon at CrimeCon, today's going to be real rough. It's real hot, and I'm feeling very off today.
Oh, boy. I'm going to
mess
episodes.
Up a lot of my words.
Good.
If you want to join us at CrimeCon.
Or on Patreon.
Use our code for CrimeCon, Dateline19, to get a discount. And it helps us out. And also, our Patreon is patreon.com/dateline. Thank you so much.
But thank
we love
you, Claire.
We love you. So this episode for Claire is called Jagged. It aired on March 29th, 2009, season 27, episode 26, hosted by our Sir Mank, who we have not seen in many moons.
It has.
We've missed him.
There have been many tides.
The ebb and flow of our lives. So right away at the very beginning of this episode, Mank gives us a global economics lesson.
Yes, he does.
Did you notice that?
I did.
It really has nothing to do with the episode. I mean, it kind of does.
It's definitely a statement. It was a statement moment.
It's like a political statement that he's kind of making.
Kinda.
I mean, it is.
I was like, excuse, wow. Yeah. Getting it in there.
Yeah. I mean, not really. I think everyone probably agrees that more things should be made in America, but... It's still pretty funny.
It's usually not touched on Dateline episodes, though. So, Mank, we see you. We appreciate it. A tip of the hat.
A tip of the hat to you. If you really want to know what Mank thinks about politics, just follow him on Twitter, because he's very clear. He just makes a comment that this story all starts in a factory, and there are fewer and fewer factories that are actually making things in the U.S. that are going to people in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
This takes place in Ohio, 2015. Mank is standing in a poorly lit but well-landscaped office park of some sort.
Sure.
He's talking about, this is a really long intro, about those stories where the police and the victims' families come together and they find healing and love and respect and all this stuff. And it's like the camera's coming in slowly on him, and then it cuts right to his face, and he goes, "This is not that."
That was amazing.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it immensely.
I know. It was super dramatic.
Because I didn't know he was going there with it, to be honest. And I was like, oh, it's not. Okay, get your seatbelt on. Let's go. We're ready. We're ready, Mank.
Yep. And he's smirking. It's so good. So this story is about Heather, who is a single mom of a daughter. She worked the night shift at the Whirlpool plant. I cannot imagine how hard working a night shift is. I really have mad props for anyone who does it because
Oliver does it.
Well, I don't have as much for him, but for other people.
For real people.
Yeah.
Not like my fake husband.
Yeah. He's not real.
Who no one really is.
He's a spy. He's not working at night, Katie. He is flying to Belgium. for some sort of espionage. And then he flies back the next day.
That's why he's so tired.
Yes.
Yeah.
So one morning, she clocked out of her job at the Whirlpool plant and disappeared. The family started looking for her and filing a missing persons report. The cop is Sean O'Connell. We're going to be talking lots about Sean O'Connell.
Remember that name.
Yeah. So Mankey says, Heather was in the midst of trying something new, i.e. mm-hmm. being a lesbian.
That was an interesting way to put that, I thought.
Questionable, slightly problematic phrasing.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I mean,
it's a choice.
It's not a choice.
Well, I mean, the way he worded it was his choice.
Yes, it's a choice. You can just try it and then, like, not try it. It's totally up to you. Like you're picking your different flavors of Keurigs in the morning. You're deciding what genders you're going to date.
How would have been the correct way? She was dating a woman for the first time?
Yeah, she's exploring new parts of her
sexuality. I don't think they're going to say sexuality on Dateline.
Probably not.
Sensual.
There you go. She is finding out where she lands on the Kinsey scale.
There we go.
And it is more towards the center than she had previously thought. That's a great
really
way of saying it.
Yeah, and it wouldn't have sounded clunky at all.
I like really it. Good. So Heather was dating Carmella, and they had been fighting a lot. Maybe had broken up?
Mm.
After a little bit, the cops find Heather's abandoned car, and on the seat was a note from Carmella about their fight.
Sorry, quick question. We don't know how long after they found
they
the car,
very
right?
They weren't very clear. No. That's why I was trying to be
we
vague.
We think it was like maybe 48 hours. It didn't seem very long.
It didn't seem
I'm
like
saying.
Very long.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So Heather is unfortunately in the trunk, which almost never happens. At least in movies, it's always a fake out. You know, mm-hmm. when they zoom into the trunk in movies, yeah. it's always a fake out. This is actually, she's in the trunk. It's very sad. She
really
is
sad.
Like a horrible attack. She's shot twice. She's beaten and probably bound. It is horrible. Mm-hmm. She is wearing a Mickey Mouse t-shirt that wasn't hers and didn't have holes in it, so someone had put it on her after they shot her. She's very mysterious.
But did you find that really, like, I found that really disturbing that it was a Mickey thing.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I don't like it when people do things from the happiest place on earth.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
No.
It's not, don't put a card, like, you just murdered someone. Don't put a cartoon character on their body. That's
no,
not,
I mean, that's something
really
that
upsetting.
Would be in a movie.
It
where
is.
Where they're trying to show how the juxtaposition, or like when someone carves a happy face on a dead body.
Correct, or something
but
awful like that.
In real life,
no,
for it's... someone to do that, do you think they just picked the first thing, or were they trying to be extra diabolical by picking a Mickey sweatshirt?
I'm going to be honest, this case went in a very different direction than I thought it was going to go, because the mm-hmm. Mickey sweatshirt is fairly early, and I was like, oh, they're going to catch it by tracing the Mickey sweatshirt.
Yeah, we're not even sure if they tested DNA on the Mickey sweatshirt. A lot of people on Twitter were questioning, did they even, like they have, if it wasn't hers, someone else's DNA is probably on there.
Right.
Unless they pulled it right out of the laundry with gloves on.
But no, because touch DNA on clothing is not a thing, right? It's usually touch DNA on hard surfaces. So touch DNA on clothing,
I think
can't.
It could be on clothing or hairs.
Hairs can.
Yeah. Or sweat.
Okay.
So I think there could have been something, for sure.
Yeah, good call. Okay.
But it wasn't my call. It was people on Twitter. I didn't really pick up on it.
Good call, Twitters.
Yeah.
Tweets.
Here's another really sick thing about what happened. They had cut Heather's long hair close to her scalp.
Yeah, that's really awful. It's really sad. It's really very... It really made me think, is this going to be a multiple murder?
See,
I was like, are we dealing with a serial killer?
Most people on Twitter did not think serial killer. They thought somebody personal.
Somebody I did think
who
that
had,
too.
Like taking away her personality or her femininity by cutting her long hair. Or another girl that was jealous or something.
I just thought it was anger. I was like, well, it's either a serial killer or somebody who's really mad.
Mm.
So they cut off her hair. And
we're
like, I'm going to make you ugly.
People did say, is this a trophy?
That's a lot of hair to cut. I mean,
dude,
right?
Killers normally take just a little lock. Remember on 90 Day Fiance and Paul and Carini, his mom hands her a clump of his hair when he's going to visit Carini.
Well, that's right, because he likes hair.
in the he she hands her he hands her a clump of it, and he puts it in his backpack in a special place. Yeah, his mom.
That's really weird. That's weird.
From her brush.
I don't want to talk about this.
It makes me so. Also, he calls his father father.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll
have to see what father has to say about that. Yeah, so weird. Oh my God, Paul is a serial killer.
Are they in a cult?
I don't know, but there's something going on there.
Because that makes me think of Dwight Schrute. Mother, father.
Oh, hello, mother. Good news. I've married. Tell father.
Like, you know, I don't know.
There is DNA under Heather's fingernails, but it wasn't on the file, like in CODIS or whatever. Mm-hmm. And neighbor sees Heather's car. That's DNA, CODIS. Yeah, that's right, right? Yeah, not fingerprints. I can't remember. I haven't watched CSI in a while. A neighbor sees Heather's car being parked and someone getting out of it in a hoodie and taking off on foot, and they couldn't tell if it was a man or a woman. Now, this mm-hmm. part makes no sense to me, because mm-hmm. I went back like three times. Mm-hmm. The neighbor saw someone dropping the car off between 1:30 in the morning and 3 in the morning. And Heather doesn't get off work until 6 in the morning.
Yeah, I don't understand.
So I was really confused
by that. So this is the next day.
Oh.
That, so it's the entire day has passed.
Okay, now
no, but
I get it.
They don't say that, but that's where we're going. The time is a little off in all this because I think, again, we're not originally given the time when her body is found.
Right.
So
okay,
it's a little...
That totally makes sense. They use cadaver dogs to find a scent, and it alerts to apartment B. Don't trust the B in apartment B. Did anyone watch that show? It was a really funny show.
On Netflix.
Oh, it's on Netflix?
I think it still is. James Vanderbeek, right?
Yes.
He was funny in it. I remember him. And I
like Kristen Ritter.
And the other girl I really liked.
She's
the
great.
Actress, not Kristen Ritter. I liked her. I thought
great.
She did a good job.
Yeah. And she's in this movie called Compliance that I
yes.
just talked about.
Yes.
In an appearance on another podcast that I just recorded. I've been cheating on Katie this week.
I wish I had I'm going to try to find a sound effect for like tooting your own horn. Toot, toot.
Humble brag. Toot.
Humble brag. Oh, for this other thing that I did. It would have been worse if you had just thrown it away. You were at least a little, like, quiet about it. But if it had just been thrown away, I would not have let that go. That was not going to happen.
So,
well, congratulations, Kimberly.
Thank you.
Anyone wants to hear Kimberly on...
Say it.
Why?
I don't know if we're supposed to say it yet.
Oh, well, we'll let you know.
So the woman that lives in apartment B is Kiana Boar.
Yes.
Is it spelled B-O-A-R or B-O-R-E?
No, B-O-R.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I looked at, I did some outside research on this.
Okay, so Kiana is a single mom. She's African American, which mm-hmm. is important. And her boyfriend is a drug dealer, maybe. Heather had marijuana in her system.
Allegedly.
Yeah, maybe. We don't know. That's why I said maybe.
Yeah.
Heather had marijuana in her system because her family said she sometimes smoked it for anxiety. So maybe she had gone there after work to buy some and it went terribly wrong because pot deals often lead to murder, I guess.
Yeah, for
in
sure.
In nice little apartment complexes. Kiana did not want to talk to the cops. Kiana had a ton of Mickey Mouse stuff on her Facebook page.
I don't think it was a ton. I would like proof. I think she had one Mickey something.
Yeah.
Do you own any Mickey Mouse stuff?
I don't. No, I don't think I do.
You do not one?
Okay. No. Like if I have any Disney stuff, it's probably Alice in Wonderland.
Okay. But no, like Mickey. Because Mickey can like really easily infiltrate a wardrobe.
Yeah, but
without
no,
very
I don't.
Much. Without it being very hard.
I'm just remembering, didn't Damn It Janet, the mm-hmm. girlfriend of somebody that was doing a walk and talk interview with a local reporter, wasn't she wearing a big Mickey t-shirt?
Yeah, yeah, she was in Mickey. Damn It Janet was all right.
No, she wasn't. Damn It Janet was the wife who couldn't remember, who can't hear things. So she like makes up what she hears. and then told that story to the cops. Yeah. Do you remember that? Yeah. With the changing the pants for
what
some reason?
Is that?
It's the one in the big warehouse, another warehouse.
Yes.
And it's the janitor is arrested for it. But I think he gets... I'm surprised there hasn't been a follow-up episode because I believe he got acquitted. And they might be retrying him or something like that. So,
whoa.
Yeah. Even though he's on camera, like, leaving.
Correct.
And coming back.
Well, didn't he admit it?
No. I don't think so. And he just blames his wife because she just told, like, a wrong story to the cops that he had changed his pants. And they're like, where did she get that from? And she apparently can't hear things. And she saw that he had pants laying on the bed. So she just put two and two together and then told the police that. Because it's important to just connect the dots in your head. And
yeah,
then tell
it's
the cops
not
that.
No basis in reality. That's not, that's, it's overrated.
Yeah.
Good
so
job, Janet.
The shirt that Heather is wearing, it was an XL. And they make a point of saying that Heather wouldn't wear an XL, but Kiana would wear an XL. And I say, let's stop signing sizes to ourselves. We are all size beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Oh, my God.
This is my Dove ad for beauty standards.
Oh.
Thank you.
We are all size beautiful.
Yep.
Did you make that up? Is that a t-shirt?
There was an ad, a company that changed the sizes on all their jeans to be like, excellent, intelligent, you know, go-getter, enthusiastic, caring.
How do you know?
They had like an ad for it. To go against beauty standards, like Dove is always doing in their campaigns. Okay. And it was a commercial, and the women would try it on, and they would go, where's the size? And they were like, that's the size. Compassionate, or whatever. I'm size compassionate.
I'm size diligent.
Yeah, there you go. It's all like Girl Scout traits.
They did. They know. They saved. They changed up to Christian Character Awards. I'm into it. Responsible.
Yes.
Could you imagine those customer service phone calls? I got the responsible. But what I really wanted was honesty. Can I get the honesty in the indigo?
The responsible is too tight on me.
I want the distressed indigo.
Yeah. That's fair. I don't think they actually did. I think it was just for the commercial, but maybe they really did do it. I don't know. As a gimmick. Oh, there was another company that made body wash and stuff. It might have been Dove, but I think it was a company that was trying to be like Dove. And they changed all their bottles to be different shapes to represent the different shapes of women. So there was like hourglass and apple and whatever else sizes that they give to us. Potato. I don't remember. I don't know.
Why do we have to fit into a fruit?
That's
what
just
if what, we don't, what if no. we aren't represented by a fruit?
Zucchini.
Do zucchini's not a fruit?
Carrot. It's a vegetable.
Carrot shape.
Carrot shape. You have really big shoulders.
Really broad
and
shoulders.
And only one leg. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
That was the worst.
I'm really sorry to anyone out there who only has one leg. I'm truly sorry.
Okay.
But you know the sizes. So they made like ones that are more
I get it. That's
heavy
the dumbest,
bottomed.
That's so stupid.
And so the bottle, you'd buy the bottle that would represent you, I guess.
But like
and
literally.
And then you put it on the counter for the cashier and the cashier would look at probably you and then the bottle
and, judge,
and then you
and
the
judge.
Bottle. Yeah.
Because what if the scent that you like if they're all different scents, what if the scent you like honey almond or whatever,
right.
and that's in the one that's shaped like straight up and down,
right.
but you're not. You're more of like an apple or
yeah.
a pear, but you by the straight up and down of the thing, quietly judged
yes.
by Sandy at CVS who's checking you out.
Sandy is so judgmental whenever she checks
She's
people
looking.
Out. Oh,
yeah.
Sandy needs to join Kathy and Linda.
Yeah.
So the surveillance footage is of VHS quality, they point out. And you can kind of see the shapes of two cars driving by.
Like, it's, kind of.
It is the worst footage. Why can we as a country put extra cheese in every single part of a pizza, but we can't get security cameras that actually have clear footage?
Ask Google.
There's a car that might be Heather's driving, and then right behind it, there's a white SUV that maybe has OJ and Al Cowlings?
What can you see? Oh,
you face. Know who I am, damn it.
But what? You can't see that that's Heather's car. It looks like a blob, a dark blob with two headlights.
I agree. Totally.
That's nonsense.
Totally. But the detective, O'Connell, based half of his theory around that this is her car and it's being followed by a white SUV.
Well, he's a genius, so let's just go with it.
So then there's this guy, Omar Satchel, and he's friends with Kiana, and he has a long record. And he has a friend that drove him around once in a while in a white SUV. I think everyone on Earth has a friend that has a white SUV, at least in America and probably Canada. I know like five people who have white SUVs. You know, my mom had a white SUV.
But you might have like an acquaintance at least.
You would know someone.
Or an Uber driver or a Lyft driver.
There you go.
Somebody's got a white SUV.
There you go. O'Connell was hearing on the street that, I guess O'Connell like has street informants or something. I don't know. I think he really wants to think that he's street informants.
They said informant a couple times. So there's somebody in jail that's trying to like get a deal and is just telling lies.
So O'Connell is hearing that Omar, Kiana, and two other people were involved in the murder, and someone had tossed a gun in the river. And this I was actually kind of impressed by, that based on that tip, he got the department to spend the money to have divers search the river.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of was, I thought, oh, maybe he's cool. Like, he's actually trying.
Yeah.
He then publicly named his suspects in the newspaper.
That's not great.
He did not have evidence. He was trying to, I guess, scare them or shake things up or get them to make a mistake or something. All three of the suspects are related to that apartment building where Heather's car and body were found. This is what doesn't make sense to me, and it seems so obvious, is if they were involved, why would they leave the car, like, right outside the door of the apartment building? You would move it.
Correct.
Why? Okay, but O'Connell doesn't think of that. He thinks they're just really dumb. And he thinks it was a drug deal that's gone terribly wrong. Yeah. I did think the apartment complex looked pretty cute. Like, it did not look like a place where a drug deal would it's go fine. So bad that a girl gets murdered.
Yeah.
Also, she got shot twice and no one called the police.
Right.
Mank interviews Kiana. She said she's never sold drugs. I thought she dressed up nicely for Dateline.
She looked lovely.
Mank pushes her about the cadaver dog and she just lets it fly. She thinks that whole thing with the dog is a lie. That O'Connell is just full-on making up things. He had a vendetta against her baby daddy.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he said that the dog sniffed on her apartment and it never happened.
And not even just sniffed, that like, it was like the dog B-line. Went straight to apartment B.
Right. Yeah. Kiana, you can say that you think it's because you're black, because we're all thinking that too. So you could just say that. So she said the reason that she didn't want to talk to the cops when they came to the apartment is because she was smoking pot. So obviously,
that makes total sense.
She was like, I don't want to talk to you now. Also, if it was O'Connell that came and she knew that he had beef with her baby daddy, she would probably...
She's really not going to want to talk to him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then we meet with Omar Satchel, and he's meeting with Mink. He's wearing a cable knit sweater. And okay, we had an argument about this the other day. Are these hipster glasses? The kind with the frame part is just on the top, the little black on top, and then it's clear on the bottom.
I think the problem that I have why we keep getting mixed up on hipster glasses is hipster glasses are if you are wearing glasses and you don't need glasses. You're wearing glasses as a fashion accessories.
That's an extreme point of hipster glasses. But there are styles of glasses for people who really need glasses that are hipster glasses.
Then I would say the hipster glasses would be more the kind that are very look at me. So they're very like 1970s, like with the big, big frames, like the ones that look like they'd be on Melanie Griffith in Working Girl. like from the 80s, like that berry, that swoopy style. That's more a hipster glass. Those little horn rimmed things, those are like a classic style.
They are more like, I think, retro classic, like a retro classic.
Yeah, but they're not, I would not. Because I think hipster definitions just has changed. It's not more, it's not like the little hat anymore and glasses. It's not like the fedora and glasses. That's not a hipster anymore. Now hipsters are like normcore. So it's like a Mickey Mouse baseball hat and giant glasses.
Okay, I'm not, no, I don't go for normcore. That's ridiculous. That's made up. I can't handle that.
Do you want me to call America and tell them to stop? Yeah. What do you want me to do?
Please.
We can go down to Silver Lake and we can have some conversations. I do not think that Omars are. Omars are more like a Malcolm X style. It seems
there you
to me,
go.
Which
I
is not
see that.
Hipster at
You're
all.
You're right. Yeah, I can see that.
That's a classic.
Okay, I gotcha. So he says he's never even met Heather. He thinks he's a scapegoat because he's black. There, finally someone said it.
Well, he said his lawyer told him that.
Yeah,
he
that's true.
He said, my lawyer said that they picked on me because I am African-American and I have a record. And I was like, probably.
Yeah. And Mank does not go easy on him with the records.
No, he does the opposite of go easy on him. I was shocked.
He goes, here's a list of your priors.
That pulls out a thing.
He hands him the list of his priors, and they are as long as a CVS receipt.
Yeah.
He says, well,
he said it's the proverbial record as long as my arm.
Yeah. And Omar's like, I don't know what to say. Like, yes, I did some of this, but that doesn't mean I murdered someone. So.
But why does Mank kind of go in on him?
Well, he's trying to make the point. I think he's trying to defend the cop a tiny bit to say it's, because he says it's no, you shouldn't be shocked that they looked at you. Like, you have a really long rap sheet. So they're going to look at someone with a record.
But I think it's just surprising that they went after him for being associated with someone who lived in that apartment. It's kind of a stretch, right?
Yes.
From the jump, it's a stretch.
But I personally think, because I believe that O'Connell may have had a beef with Kiana's boyfriend, I mm-hmm. think there were a whole bunch of these drug dealer guys that had like kind of rap sheets, but nothing like murder. Mm-hmm. And he was trying to get them for something. And hadn't been able to get them, and he was excited that he could get them for this.
Which is horrible.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Omar's friend, who the cop thought was involved, mm-hmm. was not a DNA match. Mm-hmm. Omar volunteered his DNA mm-hmm. and was not a match. Wouldn't you do this before you printed their names in the paper?
That's not great.
Yeah.
Really bad.
Yeah. Kiana gives her DNA. She's not a match. Oh, and Omar has an alibi. It gets even more ridiculous. So this is the point where I should not be on a jury, because I realize this. The prosecutor would say, well, look at him in this picture of himself posing in a white SUV. And I'd be like, he is guilty. Send him to jail. And then the defense would go, that picture on Instagram of him in the white SUV was taken years before he even moved to this town. That SUV never was even in this town. And I would say, it's a frame up. I would jump up out of my chair and be like, free Adnan Syed, free Brendan Dassey, and they would have to drag me out of court. My opinion can flip so much from one little bit of fact like that. But it just shows how you can manipulate evidence. You can say one thing and then explain it a little further, and then it totally makes sense.
It's also not an SUV. It's a truck.
Are you sure? They called it an SUV.
They did, but then he talks about it in interviews. Like, it's a white truck. It'd never been in that town. I had it, like, 3 years before when I lived in a different town. White truck.
Well, there you go. But from that blur, could we... Yeah, it looks like an SUV on that blur.
It did. It was it not looked a like truck. A, it looked like an SUV on that blur, but you couldn't see it in the Instagram picture. You could see white.
Yeah, you could just see that it was a white,
like a
higher-up car.
Side, right. Yeah. But that's all you could see. You couldn't see what it was. So, right. I mean, they even had the make wrong. It's just... It's a bunch of...
Hooey.
Yeah.
So the family, Heather's family, has had enough. It's been 4 months. 4 months is not that long of an investigation. They usually take a lot longer. But they were pissed at O'Connell. They just think
I think they're mad because I think the longer that it goes on in the wrong way,
right,
the longer he looks at these other people, they're like, he's never going to look at who we're telling him to look at.
Right.
And they were like trying to give him names from the jump. Also, who are we talking to?
That's Heather's sister and Heather's cousin.
A cousin.
The boy is the cousin. Yes.
Okay. The boy is the cousin. Okay. Yes. Because we see the brother, her brother later. So
correct.
I'm trying to figure out. Okay.
Yes.
The cousin that's sitting there.
That I think she was fairly close to, it seemed like.
Who were also great interviews, by the way.
Yeah, they did a good job. They think that he should be looking at someone else. Here we go. Katie just said it. Heather's brother.
Bum, bum, bum.
What? I was shocked.
So was I.
The sister is saying, look at Josh, the brother.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're all full siblings or half siblings.
Hmm.
It was weird the way they phrased it. They were like, like saying to look at Heather's brother, where you would think they would have said her brother.
They are half sisters.
That's what I thought.
They are half. I'm sorry. Heather, the girl that we have the interview with, and Heather, I'm not sure what their relationship is.
They are only 18 months apart.
Yeah.
But that could be either.
Yeah, my sister and I are 18 months, though.
Yeah, it could mean nothing. That's what I'm saying.
That I think the sister that's being interviewed and Josh are not related.
That's
Josh is only related to Heather.
Feeling that vibe, but then there's something else that was really weird, which I'll get to right now. So the brother, whose name is Josh, is being interviewed by Josh, and he had sent Heather very mean texts the day of the murder.
Right.
Calling her stupid for failing her nursing exam, which I wish they had mentioned that at the beginning. That's really cool that she was going after a nursing degree. Did they?
They did. They mentioned at the beginning that she had wanted to be a nurse.
Okay.
But then she got pregnant, like she'd been a little derailed. I think so now she was trying to, but she was really excited about the job at the factory is what they said. But the factory, I'm sure that she was, because I'm pretty sure that it's a union gig.
Right.
Which means she probably did all right. Definitely,
you know,
made
what
enough
she did?
To support her kid.
She worked the forklift.
She did.
Is then that not so badass?
That is so cool, because I have been around a forklift and it's not easy. That's so cool. That's also a special license to do that. That's not just, you can't just do that. You have to have a special certificate to be able to work something like that, because it's an insurance thing for the company.
It's really cool. It makes me think of Madge from the work, from the warehouse that Michael Scott is like really mean to.
And
makes up names for her, and he's horrible. But no, Heather was really cool that she could do that.
That's really neat.
That she was becoming a nurse. So,
and that she was trying to go for a nursing at the same time,
If anyone could stay up those late night nursing shifts, it's someone who's already worked at a factory night shifts.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know how people do it. So here's another part of the text that was really weird. He says, "You're trash like your mom and dad." So at least one of them is his parent too, right?
Right, right.
Okay, so these are really bad texts. But why would he kill her? We don't know if there's a motive. My brother is still mad at me for when he thinks I almost hit him with the car, but I didn't. He's totally made it up in his mind. But he's not going to kill me over it. Or maybe he is. We'll get him on the show. He really wants to come on.
He does? All right. What does he want to talk about?
I don't know.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
All right. All right, Matt. Your time is coming.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
There's obviously an issue with the parents. We're not seeing the
parents. I think he does not.
Episode.
Yeah. And I think he has disowned the parents because he thinks they're trash. And he had hopes for her to maybe not be trash. This is his point of view. Even though I think she was doing really good, he was like, she's a single mom and she's kind of kicking butt at it.
And
so,
he seems like, when he explains it,
what
so
is he doing that's so great?
But I think when he comes on and explains it to Josh, it rings very genuine. You sort of understand, okay, he's trying to play a fatherly role with her by being like, what's wrong with you? He's just doing it in a horrible way.
And yeah, he says it's tough love.
Right. I can see that that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to do that. He's just not doing it very well. And
failing.
Way
that is
too
not
harsh.
Tough love.
It's way too harsh.
No.
Right.
He even says, like, that wasn't tough love. That was abusive. Like,
he
I
does,
understand
which
that.
Makes which made me happy because he totally gets it now. He's like, I see that that was like, and it's probably the last text he sent her. He
feels horrible.
That's horrible. I feel really bad for him because that's, you know, that's a hard one to take back.
Yeah. So, now, what do you think of this?
Yeah.
O'Connell says that he asked for Josh the brother's DNA and he wouldn't give it to him. Mm-hmm. Josh the brother says O'Connell never asked for his DNA.
Well, I tend to believe the brother. For reasons that we'll get to. I don't think that he would have been... I don't think he would have
not given it. Done it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this brings us to Carmela, the girlfriend slash maybe ex-girlfriend. She is wearing a hoodie in her interview with Mank.
Are we talking about this now or are you holding this?
No, I'm saying this right now because the person that the neighbor saw parking the car running away was also wearing a hoodie.
Oh, wearing a hoodie.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even put it together.
Yeah. So a lot of people online were speculating, is she in prison? Is she the one? Because she's wearing a hoodie and the background looks like it might be prison-y. So
they did do a good job with that, but her hoodie's a little nice for...
For prison.
It's a little Tilly's for prison.
Tilly's.
You know.
Heather's sister and cousin are saying to O'Connell, look at Carmela. They really think it's either the brother Josh or Carmela. They think it's someone very close to Heather. They said that Carmela and Heather fought about jealousy. And then they say that Heather dyed her hair a lot and it was always kind of fried and that Carmela didn't like her hair. So the sister thought that Carmela might have killed her and then cut her hair.
That's a stretch.
There's that note in Heather's car from Carmela, and it says you're something like you're dead to me, which Carmela really regrets and says is the most terrible thing I could have said.
Yeah, that stinks.
Yeah, it really is terrible that that would be the last thing. Carmela says there were no fights about her hair. She only maybe said once that she liked it better blonde, but it looks good both ways. It was that kind of conversation. And then somehow Heather's sister heard it as like, she hates my hair.
No, well, that's probably, maybe, we don't know Heather that.
She could be dramatic.
So she could be a little dramatic and be like, it was a negative. That's not a compliment to be like, I like it better like this. That's a, like, so if you're insecure about your hair and you hear something like that, that's not a complete compliment. You're going to be like, I'm embarrassed. My hair looks bad. She doesn't like my hair.
Gotcha.
Or whatever. So yeah, she took it to, and then for some reason, the sister remembered it.
She remembered it.
Why is she saying something about your hair?
Yeah, right. And then the second there was something about the hair and the body.
About the hair. And it looks like, because it's like she cut off the fried parts, right? The person cut it off. So,
but who hates someone's hair enough to cut it after they're dead? Like, I really hate the Rachel, but if I killed someone who had the Rachel, I would not cut it off and be like, screw you, Jennifer Aniston. I'm giving you the Audrey Hepburn. That'll show her, like, after I kill them. What?
No.
That's insane.
No, I think that the sister was just, like, anything that could be, like, there are all these things. These are, like, a multitude of reasons why Carmela is possibly the killer.
I do think if Jan Brady were to kill Marcia Brady, she would cut her hair as an FU after she killed her. Because Marcia was too good, too into her hair, rubbed it in Jan's face.
Yeah. Girl, look what you've done to me. Me and my whole world.
That's good.
Thanks, I got a good old Davy Jones going.
Yeah. So Heather's family keeps pushing to O'Connell, but he thinks it's his drug theory, and he is sticking with the drug theory. Gosh. And the family hates him so much, they're trying to get him kicked off the case.
Yeah.
They are done with him.
Yeah.
And then, as Mank says, the world blows up.
That was a lot. That was a big sentence.
The world turns upside down. You have no idea what I'm singing. It's Hamilton. The world turned upside down. The world turned upside down. You got nothing. Okay. So 16 months into the investigation, this is when the world blows up. The sheriff of that town, the guy who's the boss of O'Connell, is arrested. He was stealing...
Sheriff Overmeyer.
He is over his pill allotment for the day.
Yeah.
He is stealing pills from, like, evidence lockers, and he's stealing money from the department to pay for his habit.
It's bad.
It's really bad. So then it causes a trickle-down effect where they start investigating basically everything that's going on in the department.
Correct.
Which leads them to O'Connell.
Uh-huh.
And now he is under investigation for mishandling the case and possibly tampering with evidence and coercing victims, which is crazy.
Like, specifically this case, the Heather's case. That's crazy. Yes.
And I had just kind of thought he was myopic and maybe slightly racist, but I did not think he was full-on corrupt.
Right, me neither.
Yeah. Me neither. So he ends up resigning from the office because he's facing these criminal charges.
Yeah.
And he moves on to another great job. No shame.
No shame. No. But all shade.
But all shade. He is managing a Mickey D's. And he appears to Mank to be the shell of a man. He's very sad and ashamed, as he should be, about how his career that was once so promising has ended up at McDonald's.
That's got to be rough.
It has to sting. You've worked your whole... You went through the training to be a cop and all work, got up to detective and all this stuff. Well, he says,
it's not the way I thought my law enforcement career would end.
No.
Be but a manager. Didn't you move?
In a couple years, he would have prayed to be a manager in a McDonald's. So we'll get to that.
Yeah, it's true. But seriously, move town. Leave town.
I don't know if, like, your record, I'm assuming, follows you everywhere. Because there's that guy on 60 Days In, Zach, whose wife, who was pregnant, had mishandled his firearm. And it got him fired. Oh. And it got him, like, blackballed. There's a callback from a week or two ago. He got him, like, blackballed from other departments. He was flying to other states to interview because he couldn't find a department that was willing to overlook this, because it follows you. And that's why he was doing 60 Day In.
Move to Tucson.
Where anything goes in Tucson.
Right.
Yeah, it does. It's Arizona.
Get yourself to Texas or Arizona. Or Florida. Yeah. Okay. O'Connell, do great.
If Arizona's okay with Joe Arpaio, they're okay with O'Connell.
Go down to the Florida Keys.
There you go.
There's a whole... they have their own government down there. Like, go go find yourself a margarita mama and, like, you're done. But wait. Did you see how shady Josh was about it? Josh did not pull a punch with O'Connell in the slightest. We don't get to see his face say it, but we hear it in a voiceover, and you can hear in his tone, he was delighted to be able to say that sentence about him now being a manager at a McDonald's. And I'm wondering how many takes he had to do, because they're like, you sound too happy.
Josh, you're still too into it.
Josh, we're going to do that one more time. We're going to try to sound a little more serious. Okay. Thanks again.
Josh, once again, we're getting a hint of gleeful, Josh, in that.
We're going to need you to take it down.
Yeah. Think somber, Josh. You're not as excited. So funny. The family is also giddy. They are like, bye, Felicia. Introduce us to the new detective. Like, they are so happy that this is over.
Yeah.
And the new detective, his name is...
Yep.
Did you get this?
I did.
I'm so happy that you got this. Mm-hmm. This is Nick Katsopoulos, which several people pointed out on Twitter is the name of one of Uncle Jesse's twin sons on Full House.
It's pretty good.
Nikki and Alex. We remember them well. Actually, we don't. They were annoying, and they were the Cousin Olivers of that show. Hot take there. But I don't remember enjoying them very much.
When you were asking me if I got it, I thought you meant, did I write it down? To which the answer was, the fact that it was on Full House, no.
That's why I said, I'm so happy you got it.
Yeah, and then I realized that maybe I had missed something. And then I was hoping that maybe it would click when you said it. And I did. I wasn't a big Full House. I don't have an extensive background.
Yeah. See, I watched it religiously. But the Nikki and Alex years, that was kind of rough.
Is it like, later on?
Well, it's much later. He marries Becky, and they
is that
move
Lori
Loughlin? Into... Yes.
She's in and, trouble.
Yeah, she is.
Okay.
And they move into the attic, because that's what grown people do when they get married. Joey moves to the basement, and Jesse moves to the attic with Becky, and they have twins, and they're Nikki and Alex, and they have the longest hair, because he won't cut their hair. They are blonde, even though he's super Greek. They have no personality.
Is it Zach and Cody? Is it those boys?
No, but it's very much like them.
Okay.
Yeah, very much like them.
Okay.
Okay, so Nikki, cousin Nikki, is critical of O'Connell. He thinks he had blinders on. He finds absolutely nothing to connect the main three suspects to the crime. Again, they were accused publicly.
In the media.
Mm-hmm. In the media, in the newspapers. And if you're accused publicly of
with
something...
With pictures.
Photos of them yeah. And mugshots, because they had priors, so they put their mugshots in there.
That's like, horrible.
These people cannot get jobs now. People stare at them all the time. Yeah. And I know in our Patreon episode, we were kind of laughing when Candy was like, people stare at me everywhere I go. But she actually was involved in the crime and wore the worst top I've ever seen on Dateline. These people tried in their outfits on Dateline, and they had absolutely nothing to do with the crime.
Right.
So I feel very bad for them.
Me too.
It is not fair at all. So the next person that O'Connell looks into is Josh, the brother. They get his DNA, and it's not a match. So he is not the killer. Mm-hmm. He's just maybe, like, not the best brother in the world.
Maybe. No, he maybe just had a bad day and went a little too harsh.
Okay. You're very nice.
I'm so gonna try to next, be nice. He lost his sister, and he seemed really sorry.
Yeah, he did. No, you're right. He did. So next is Carmela. The detective focuses on her.
Mm-hmm.
But he finds her to be honestly heartbroken and very credible and helpful to work with.
Mm-hmm.
She gives her DNA. It is not a match. She also volunteers to do a polygraph, and she passes it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been what seems like a matter of weeks, and cousin Nikki has been able to clear everyone that O'Connell was facing over like a year and a half of looking at, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With Nikki's- logical suspects. He's, yeah. And he's clearing people who the family are concerned about. Like,
totally.
He's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. 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 Cousin Nikki sees that the phone had pinged last at 9:20 a.m. And it was in a place kind of by the Whirlpool factory, but it was a large, like, miles long, like 5 miles
right.
wide
area. Right,
it
was a 5-mile area. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So that's not helpful.
No.
But his team, and they, O'Connell had already figured this out, but O'Connell did not take it a step further.
Correct.
So Nikki's team is very tech-savvy, and they go to the satellites. And Mankey slyly points out, O'Connell didn't pursue this avenue. Was that shade? I think there's lots of shade. It's shade.
It's shade. So, it's rightful shade.
Rightful shade.
Mm-hmm.
The satellite, which I don't understand, but it's science and good for science.
Dang it.
Well done, science. What?
You don't.
I mean, kinda.
I wrote down satellite tracking of phone. Maybe Kimberly.
Sorry. I've let you down.
It's all right. I was trying to kind of figure out exactly, because they said they had to get a subpoena from Google, which I didn't understand, to get
the
information.
You know how Google has like the Google Maps and Google Earth?
Right.
Where it can, so their satellites are up there, and they can, I guess they're somehow communicating with phones whenever phones are pinging, or maybe just checking GPS. Like, maybe your GPS on your phone comes from a satellite, the GPS in your car.
So does it worry you that Google knows more about where you are than a police officer trying to solve a murder. They have to subpoena.
They always have.
Google this billion-dollar company.
Yeah. Point of the story is that the satellite pinpointed where her phone was.
Right.
So it's in. It's her phone was within feet of the front door of a trailer at a trailer park. The guy who lives in the trailer is Daniel Myers. He is in his 40s, and he also works at Whirlpool. Dun, dun, dun. Which could be huge, or it could not be, depending on how big this town is, because there are lots of towns with factories in them where, like, most people work at that factory or have a relative that works at that factory.
Right.
So, we don't know. But this is where it gets really cringy. O'Connell had assumed that his other detectives would interview fellow Whirlpool employees. It is not even actually clear if they did or how many or what. He certainly didn't. And you know what happens when you assume, O'Connell? You make an ass out of you and then you again. Yeah. I said it. He also ignored an email that specifically pointed to Daniel.
Did it? It didn't.
No, it did.
Where did it in the email? Because I read the email. So where was it?
Oh, did it just say, I know a guy?
It said, unfortunately, I think maybe Dateline put up the wrong email. Because it's like, I've been writing you and you're not getting back to me. And it's like, look, I know someone that works at Whirlpool that could have done this to a woman. But it's also, it says Sean, comma. So it's somebody that knows O'Connell is writing
and
him this email.
Ignored. We don't, Dateline says he dismissed or forgot.
Sure. Just did not.
Or did nothing to it. Right. Yeah. What was he doing for 16 months that he didn't have one day where he said, I'm going to reread these files and see if we missed anything?
No, he was laser focused on his three suspects who were so incorrect.
I hope he is now demoted at Mickey D's to cleaning up the ball pit after a kid has thrown up his Happy Meal in it.
No, he's a manager.
Yeah,
but demoted. Kathy wants to talk to him every day.
Every day. Can I talk to the manager?
Every day this fish fillet is not fresh.
It's fillet.
Well, no duh.
No duh. It's a fish fillet.
This tartar sauce tastes like mayonnaise. Kathy, go to the back of the line.
It is mayonnaise, Kathy. Just go back. Also on Twitter, this was big. Mank revealed on Twitter that there were several female employees at the Whirlpool who were scared of Daniel.
Did you see Daniel?
He is creepy as F.
We are on a 10 scale of creep.
Yeah.
10.
Yeah. But as Mank points out, in Twitter, again, he's so much shade on Twitter.
What did
he says, a simple police interview would have found that out.
Like in 13 seconds. Oh, you did it. 13
seconds. Is there anyone here that makes you uncomfortable or that the girls don't like? Every single girl will be like, Daniel. Well, I'm going to have my partner interview Daniel. I'm going on break or whatever. And the partner's like, I'm going to send it off to an intern to do. Like, what's happening? Daniel. So the cops go see Daniel, Nikki, and he says he barely knew Heather. They kind of worked together. He had never seen her in the trailer park. She had never come to his house. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's lying. Mm-hmm. They find out the flooring in his trailer had been replaced. They test his DNA, and it's a match. Yes. So Nikki thinks that he lured Heather there and tried to have sex with her, and when she refused, he killed her. I think that's very likely. I think he's an incel. If you don't know what that is, look it up.
Incel?
Yeah. Do you want me to school you?
Yeah, what?
So, an incel is the newest form of creepy douchebags. It is an internet trend. It's very big. It stands for involuntary celibate.
Oh, so I-N-C-E-L.
Correct. Now, this is a group of straight white men who are bitter and on their pity pot that they can't get women, and they hate women because of it. They are racist, and they think men of color are stealing their women. Oh. They are homophobic, and they think that women are stealing their women.
Oh, my.
They are categorized as a hate group.
Mm-hmm.
They talk online about raping women and getting what's owed to them because women owe them sex. They want, or they talk about attacking women who are sexually active and men who are getting some because they're not getting some. Their stereotype is like a guy who lives in his basement of his parents' house
and is unemployed.
Unemployed and in his 40s. Yes. Hmm. There was a mass shooting in Santa Barbara a few years ago.
Right.
And he had a manifesto about how he was trying to get revenge on all these women who wouldn't date him. And that's why he was doing it. So now incels use his name as like a do this for him, or they have their name, have like their username is his name. And there have been a bunch of shootings and attacks since then where they have online called themselves him or saying they're doing it for him or like so his, you know, work won't be in vain.
And they call themselves incels?
They call themselves incels.
How?
Yes, this is what they have created. And they're martyr. They've made him a martyr. They make themselves victimized. And it's society who doesn't respect the white man anymore. And women should be just dating them and doing what they want. Women are sex objects and they should just be giving into them.
They are aware, they're smart enough to be aware that incel sounds really close to imbecile, right?
No, they're not that smart.
Clearly. This is the worst thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, so they're an online, like it's in subreddit and a lot. The internet keeps trying to kick them out and it keeps getting bigger and bigger. Especially there's a ton of overlap with white supremacist groups.
Yeah, I'll bet.
And those dudes. But it has to do with like toxic masculinity and what men think they're owed or straight white men think they're owed.
Good lord.
It's super gross and messed up. And this guy looks like
when did this crime happen?
Incel. This crime happened in 2000, which is like a year after Santa Barbara.
So this would have been a group that had maybe already formed. We think that maybe he was part of this movement.
I am just speculating, but he's one. Even if he wasn't part of it, he has that idea. And do you remember the two lesbians who were on the beach and they were attacked?
He was an incel.
Remember how he had known who they were because he was like Facebook friends with one of them.
Right.
And she had said she was going to the beach that night with her girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people thought it was a hate crime. And I said, I think it's a hate crime because I think he's mad at lesbians because they don't want him.
Right.
And he thinks all women should want him. So I think it's that whole same mentality. Yeah. You can Google it. There's like a long Wikipedia page on it and a ton of stuff on it. It's really gross.
Wow.
It's just gross. Do you read about
it? I don't even. Ugh. All right. Yeah. Thank you for the TED Talk. I need to know. All right.
This is my TED Talk. So that's what I think happened because he looks like that kind of guy.
Yeah.
They think he cut her hair not as anything personal, not as a serial killer thing, but just to get rid of his DNA. But it's dumb because he did not check under her fingernails.
He also put her in the shirt.
Yeah, but again, we don't know if they ever tested the shirt.
Yeah, okay.
Why don't we know if they tested the shirt or not? Anyways, Danny Boy gets life sentence, and Carmella makes a statement in court.
Yeah.
And she crushed it.
Yes, she did.
She's amazing.
Watch this episode to watch her statement.
It was like the best statement I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
She like drops the mic at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I'm excited for your future. That's the, it's for someone who's going away to life for prison. She says, I'm excited for your future. She says, I know it's going to be a short one. I hope you rot in hell, you piece of.
Yeah. Fill in the blank.
And Mank so sweetly asks Carmella if she's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It was really sweet.
It was my precious moment. It was the sweetest thing.
The family, Heather's sister and the cousin,
mm-hmm.
they feel really badly, as they should, about thinking it was Carmella.
Right.
And I thought this was going to be a repeat. Do you remember the Dateline where the two women hug in court and then Mank or somebody is interviewing them and saying, you guys hugged that. And she goes, I know. It's so beautiful. I really think she forgave me. And it was the most beautiful moment in my life. And I'll never forget it. And then they cut to the other woman who's like, I mean, I hugged her, but it was like instinct.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't mean I forgive her.
Yeah. And I hate her guts. Yeah. That was
It was so embarrassing. So no. I thought this was going to be that moment.
No.
because they say, like, we apologize, you know, and so they say they hugged her in court and they cried and they felt horrible. And then they cut to Carmela and she says, they tried to apologize and I said, stop. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, it's going to be one of those moments. Mm-mm. But it's not, because she says, stop. You don't owe me an apology. This is your sister who you loved so much. You were just trying to protect her. You had every reason to think what you did. Like, no apology necessary. And it's so nice. It's like the opposite of what I thought was going to happen.
It was actually my quote for the episode. She says, we were fighting against each other for loving the same person. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's exactly what was happening. Because you know Carmela had her theories too. You know Carmela probably thought that it was Josh, the brother, or somebody. Totally. You know, she probably thought the same kind of thing. So I think that was it was a really great thing that at least they could come together and like grieve in the end.
Well, Carmela also worked at Whirlpool, so I would be very curious to know what she thought of Daniel, if she knew Daniel or if she knew of any interactions between Daniel and Heather. Because if Heather's her girlfriend, they probably gossiped about him and how he was creepy.
I have a feeling that, I mean, I think there's hundreds of people that work there.
That's true.
I think
so. Daniel, she might not have known him.
Right. I think that.
But did Heather know him, or did they just, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't
know. I mean,
know.
They knew him.
I mean, we are not given a lot of information about the end of this case. I'd be curious to ask Josh certain questions.
He said a couple things online.
Did he?
So he thinks that she was going through a hard time because of anxiety, and maybe she had gone to his house, I don't know, to, like, he said he would talk to her, or, I don't know, maybe smoke pot, I'm not sure. But he also thought that she wanted to study more for her retake of her nurse's exam. Mm-hmm. And Josh has a theory that, I'm not sure where he gets this, but that Daniel said he had some books that she could borrow.
Very.
So that's why she went there. I'm not sure where he gets that from. Maybe Daniel, like, his mom was a nurse or something. I don't know. But
interesting.
That's Josh's theory, that there are a couple of solid reasons. Because I think he was worried people online were going to shame her for going over there at 2 in the morning to Daniel's, or not 2 in the morning, 8, 9 in the morning, or 6 in the morning, I guess, after work. But, and people were like, why would she go to this strange guy's house, you know? And I think Josh was trying to protect her and say there's a couple really good, you know, reasons that kind of make sense of to why she would go to this guy's house. He lured her there with promise of something, you know?
I'm sorry, we're sure she went willingly to the house?
Yeah, I think so. Unless something happened in the parking lot.
We're sure nothing happened in the parking lot? Because we don't have video of her in the parking lot.
Josh did not seem to think so.
Okay.
He seemed to think she went there willingly because he promised her something.
Okay. Yeah, because we don't really hear anything about the actual crime, like, because he pleads, but that was interesting to me because he pled guilty, so he would have had to describe the crime to the court. So we're not given exactly what happened at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if that was to protect her and the family requested that, which is totally okay.
You mean like they requested that of Dateline?
Yes, requested the Dateline not reveal the details of exactly how she died.
I would totally agree with you, except for the fact that they show a full-on shot of her body in the trunk on Dateline, except they blur out her face.
Right, okay.
And they show that part of the trial, and it seems just horrible. And a lot of people on Twitter were like, I didn't expect I was actually going to see a dead body today. You know, because usually they just do like a weird close-up of like someone's hand.
Sure.
Maybe they were okay with that to show how horrific it was, but they didn't want the actual details. I don't know. Maybe they don't want the daughter. Maybe you're totally right. They don't want the daughter to ever see this and to have to hear the details.
Right. Also, did no one in the trailer park hear the gunshots?
Yeah, I mean.
And did we ever find the gun?
No.
Interesting. Okay.
We never found the gun.
Not that, I mean, he obviously did it. He pleads guilty to avoid the death penalty, but I'm just wondering how he must have in trial described how he got her to his house. That information must be out there somewhere because he would have had to. That's how you do it. You have to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Isn't that always part of the case?
I think it is. I think that you have to say, I'm guilty. This is what I did. But maybe he did a truncated version. Maybe it was just really short.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's very, okay. Interesting. Okay.
So former Detective O'Connell.
Yes.
Detective Big Mac, we'll call him.
Sure.
Took a plea deal admitting to evidence tampering. Which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets 2 years in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you rarely ever see that. So correct. I thought that was just awesome. Also, a cop in prison is going to do really well.
Extremely well.
It's going to be really popular.
Whatever he did, there were apparently like 9 charges against him. And then it got dropped down to 2 because of the statute of limitations. But like, seriously, it must have been real bad for him to get 2 years.
He pled guilty to the evidence tampering
mm-hmm.
so that the other stuff would get dropped because mm-hmm. there was so much other stuff.
So much stuff. All about so this bad. Case. He must have just rigged it from top to toe. He must have rigged that dog. He must have done. I'm surprised he didn't plant a gun in the water. Like, to be honest.
Oh, that's a really good point.
I'm surprised he didn't.
Yeah, that's he goes full on Manitowoc County.
Yeah, exactly.
So he apologizes to Heather's family in court.
Too late.
And this is so unfair that the camera is on him and we don't get to see their faces.
Yeah.
Because I want to
see Carmella. Yeah.
I want to see Carmella's face. I can think of so many gifts of what her face is.
Mm-hmm.
By the same token, though, I did want to point out that the family was kind of just as blindsided as he was, just for different people. But the difference being that they're not cops, so it's not their job.
You're right.
So, just wanted to point that out.
No, that's a good point.
Mank tells the family that Heather would be proud of them.
Yeah.
So, do you have any outside information?
No, just about Overmeyer. It's just kind of fascinating. His stuff is just, I would recommend looking it up, everybody, because there's, that sheriff was really bad. He was really awful. He had like a whole other girlfriend and his wife and daughter didn't know. Like all this stuff comes out about all the pills that he stole. And he's like trying to tell people he never took them. He took the pills, but he never actually took them.
Was he selling them?
No, I don't know what he was doing.
He said, I took the boxes,
but I didn't take them. And like, there's like these recorded phone calls with the girlfriend where he's trying to convince her that, well, I had a pill problem, but I didn't take those pills. Like,
oh my God, I was addicted to other kinds of pills.
It was really bad.
How much money did he end up stealing from the department?
Oh, it didn't say. Hold on. Maybe I have it here. I was more interested too in all the O'Connell stuff was I thought it might be like a series of investigative like malpractices, something like that. But really all of these charges are about Heather's case. So whatever he really messed up, it was this case that he got caught on.
Well, this is what someone on Twitter was wondering, is if they were now going to open all of his previous cases.
Mm.
Because technically they really should.
Mm.
To make sure that he didn't do this to other people. Because there could be other people that he totally railroaded. And fixed evidence and stuff. That could be in jail right now.
You're totally right. So all those cases are going to get looked at now.
I would hope so.
That's really bad. I don't know.
B-roll bonanza?
Oh, yeah.
At the beginning, I felt like they're very stepping up their B-roll. It's like we're looking through the lens of a microscope.
Mm-hmm.
Or like the revolver of a gun or something. And the suspects are like rolling by in a circle.
Oh, you know, I didn't like even see
through
that.
Through the hole of the thing. Okay, it was good. In high school, Heather tried out for a game show, which I wanted to know more about.
Yeah.
Because I love that. Because I've tried out for several game shows. I was on a game show.
That's right.
I'll talk about that in another time.
But how do you do it as a high schooler?
Yeah, that is interesting. Maybe it was Double Dare.
Oh, I wonder. No.
No, this was way too late. No, maybe it wasn't.
No, 90s? Way too late. Because she wasn't that old when she passed. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay.
So now I'm 1,000% certain I'm adding Water Tower to bingo cards, because it really is in like half the datelines at least.
Okay.
Is a shot of a water tower.
Yeah,
we got two in this one, and one of them says Whirlpool on it.
Sorry, I'm forgetting what state we're in. Where is Sandusky?
Ohio.
Ohio. Okay. Oh, Sandusky, yes. Ohio. Sandusky, Ohio?
Like Jerry Sandusky?
No. Isn't that where Michelle's from? Or, sorry, Danielle?
Danielle from Danielle 90 Muhammad? Day Fiancé?
She's from Sandusky. No,
I'm
90% sure she's from Sandusky, Ohio. That's why I know it.
Look it up, please,
now. Yep. I'm on it.
I've often thought she is going to lead to the Dateline killing.
Let's also find out if she works at Whirlpool. Danielle. What's her last name? We don't know. Doesn't matter.
Wait, so this is why Julie Vaughn on Twitter tweeted at us, automatic alternative theory, Danielle from 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh my God. Sandusky, Ohio resident, married the much younger Tunisian national in 2014.
The same year as this happened.
Oh my God.
This happened in 2015. They were divorcing as this happened. She was questioning if she was going to get him deported or not. And she went back and forth on it every single day. And her friend tried to talk some sense into her. Danielle cannot be talked sense into.
No, Danielle knows what Danielle does. Because that girl has none. No. Do I get points?
Yeah, that's really good.
For making the connection to Danielle?
That's really good. I'm very impressed.
Now we know.
There you go.
So now that this changes everything. This breaks everything wide open. Was Danielle ever dating or married to Mac O'Connell? Big Mac O'Connell.
No, because we saw his wife when they're going into court.
Do you think she ate at that McDonald's?
Oh, and would 100%.
See him there? Do you think she
She's
ever
a regular.
Asked to speak
she
to
has
the manager?
A punch card at that McDonald's.
Worlds collide.
Yeah. I want to hear a Carmela's hot take on Danielle. Like, I want to know if Carmela is a good judge of character.
Yeah, if Carmela wants to come on the show and talk to us, that I would welcome it, that. Anybody knows Carmela, come and talk to us.
Yeah, we want to hear straight talk about what Sandusky is like and what Danielle is like.
Yeah, and what is this nonsense that went down? Like, your whole police department is corrupt somehow? That must have been a shakeup of all shakeups. There's just mayhem
it happens,
in the streets.
But
and you've got Danielle running around. Like, I can't. It's a lot. We need to, Sandusky's on
what
our list.
What kind of town is this?
We're going
to Sandusky.
Cops
can do whatever they want, and Danielle can film and represent your city on TLC.
For years. Oh,
okay,
my God.
So this is my other favorite B-roll. Is O'Connell is at the parking lot of the... He's in the apartment's parking lot, mm-hmm. and he's strolling around, like, thinking mm-hmm. about how he now has to work at McDonald's or something. He takes off his sunglasses. Someone said it was like he was trying to be on, like, CSI Miami.
Yes.
And then, at one point, he kind of is looking across the grass by these hedges or shrubbery, and he acts like he spots something.
Yes.
And he walks towards something. Maybe it was a clue or, like, a joint, because there's drug deals that happen here. And he, like, he paces right towards it, like, really with purpose, but no reason, because then he kind of just stops and just looks at the hedges, like, there's nothing. Yeah. Like, he's just looking at the brush, but, like, purposefully, but with no purpose.
So O'Connell is clearly, like, a, what are the bird watchers called? What is their official title?
An
aviist or something. And so he goes towards the, that's a yellow-tailed finch. They haven't been spotted in Ohio since 1983. I was a young boy. Oh my goodness. Okay. But this is not the only ridiculous shot of O'Connell that we get, because I wrote down, there's literally like three or four B-roll shots of O'Connell just standing. And then there's one where the camera sort of swoops around him, but he's turning his body too. So they've like timed it, and he's turning his body to kind of look at the horizon. So he's turning his shoulders and his head kind of cocks. And then there's another one where he's standing in a different parking lot with his glasses in his hand, like he's going to give someone a talking to, but they're just chilling in his hand. He's not doing anything. He's just standing in outdoor areas.
This is why he agreed to be on the state line, because he knew that it was not going to make him look great, but he felt like the only way he could fix his reputation was to look really badass during his B-roll.
Right.
But he failed spectacularly,
like,
obviously.
How much can I look like David Caruso?
I'm going to look like David Caruso.
Yeah.
And then when he's driving, he's slouched down with his arms out.
Yes,
like
he is.
He is so slouched. It's like when Broomhilda, one of your many cats, sits with her,
like,
you know,
person?
With the stomach folded,
yes.
Like
yes.
A person.
Yeah.
And there's like a pooch. Mm-hmm. And it's like, he's sitting that low in the car.
He is.
Like, he's so cool. He's too cool to even sit up straight. And it is so weird, and now I'm thinking he really was enjoying himself, and that's why he came on the state line.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Why do you think he came on?
I think it was very surprising. To get some last shred of decency, because he knew they could really do a hit job on him without him on there. And there were a couple times where I thought he was okay, and then I realized how bad he was.
Right.
But there were a couple times at the beginning where I was like, oh, he seems to be trying. Like, he's not ignoring the case. And then I just realized he was trying in the worst way possible.
He did the biggest offense to me, which I have in all caps, is when he's being interviewed with Josh, there's one point where he says, you know, Josh, he says Josh's name.
I know. I heard that. I do not like that.
And I wrote in all caps, don't you say his name. Don't you do that. You aren't his friend.
You're very protective.
You aren't his friend. You don't know him. You don't say Josh.
No.
You call him Mr. Mankiewicz.
Yes.
Sir.
Yeah.
Or nothing. You just, but you don't say Josh.
No.
Like, no.
No. It was so casual. Like, they were just on the same level. Not on the same level.
And that's when I think you're guilty, because you're trying to make it like he's overdoing it, you know? I'm not playing that game, O'Connell.
No, I think I was looking down at that moment and I heard the word Josh, and it was like nails on a chalkboard, and I like looked up. I was like, was that?
Don't you do that. Don't you do
it. That's true. I know. So quotes. I loved This Was Not That, obviously, at the beginning, and it was accompanied by the close-up of Josh's face. See, we can say Josh. Doesn't sound bad.
We've met him. Josh. It's like saying Madam President or Ma'am. If you've met them, you can say Ma'am. If you're meeting them for the first time, it's Mr. President, not Sir.
Is that the rule?
Or Madam President.
Are you just making this up?
What's in Veep?
Oh,
that it's Madam President, but if you've met them, it's Ma'am.
Okay, I trust Phoebe.
But the first time, it's Mr. President or Madam President, and then it turns to Ma'am and Sir.
Okay. So Josh is Sir Mankiewicz or Mr. Mankiewicz.
We have met him.
Yeah.
It is Josh.
Yeah. So he tried to get as many spinning metaphors in as possible because of Whirlpool.
Because of the... Oh, yeah, there we go.
Did you not catch that?
Mm-mm.
You didn't get that?
Mm-mm.
Finally, I got something that you didn't get. I'm so happy. He says, a human cyclone of distrust. This is while she's wearing the Whirlpool shirt. It's over her wearing the Whirlpool shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, until the spin cycle started again.
Oh, there we go.
That could not be more obvious. He's talking about a washing machine,
Good
guys.
Job. That's great.
Yeah. Then the last one is, it's a repeat. It's a Josh repeat. He said, the data was manna from heaven, which he has on an earlier episode said, manna from forensic heaven.
Yes.
He loves his manna.
Yeah. I've heard the manna from heaven a couple times. It's good.
Yeah, he loves the manna. MVP loser.
Really? Well, MVPs, there's a few. Well, I would say Carmella beats all
Me
of them,
too.
Though. She's number one.
Despite wearing a hoodie on Dateline, I love Carmella. She is my MVP. Oh, and Josh said on Twitter that she showed up to the interview wearing the hoodie, and they were maybe going to have her change, and then they were like, no, it's perfect, because it makes her look like she might be in prison.
So there you go.
Yeah. He was like, it was lucky coincidence.
There you go.
Loser, obviously.
Well, McConnell. Is it O'Connell or McConnell?
It's O'Connell, but he's also Detective Big Mac. So it's,
are you sure it's not McConnell? Because I wrote McConnell.
I'm 1,000% it's O'Connell.
So I'm not sure what happened to me. I think I wanted it to be McConnell because it was McDonald's.
Yeah, that's where I got trapped. What you're, that's where you got confused.
I fell into the pit.
Okay. The trap. That's what I they wanted you to do.
I fell into the pit. Okay. That's...
Brand's unhappy being on Dateline and are now associated with murder.
Well.
I'm so sorry, Whirlpool. I'm sure you make quality products.
Yeah.
At an affordable cost.
No.
They don't?
I don't think Whirlpool's cheap.
I don't know. They're at Sears, aren't they?
Sears is not cheap.
No, but it's like good quality for like not thousands of dollars.
I think it's thousands of dollars.
Maybe it is thousands of dollars. What
a
do Whirlpool, I know?
You don't. A Whirlpool
I don't even have a washing machine, guys. That is I go to the laundromat.
Whirlpool's name brand. So name brand stuff is expensive. I'm saying it's not like...
You're buying off-brand washers?
Yeah, it's not like THX10. Like, is the brand that, like, you could get. I mean, there's weird things out there.
I would
there.
Not buy that, though. Well, that does not seem like quality. That seems like it's going to blow up.
I don't know. If you're on a budget, when your washer breaks, it's a disaster.
Yeah, I've heard that.
But I don't know because I don't own a washer. I'm being Linda.
Linda? I'm Linda, but I'm really Linda. I have that little Japanese washing machine that I hook up to my sink.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a dryer portion. It just spins like a couple times and then things are really just very damp. It doesn't do a very good job. But Joan Rivers Fashion Police. I loved Mankey was wearing this gorgeous hanky. Mm-hmm. It's bright, hot pink or mm-hmm. red maybe. Mm-hmm. And maybe fuchsia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's lined with blue or purplish kind of mm-hmm. piping. I really liked it.
Did you see the polka dot tie?
Everyone loved the polka dot tie loved on it. Twitter, and I missed it.
Oh, it's at the end. It's the last one he wears,
I'll
I
look
think.
For it.
It's
Everyone the,
it's
saw
like a
it.
Dark blue and white, but the polka dots are big.
Ooh.
They're big, widely spaced, which is funny because it's a little bit of a Minnie Mouse design. And I'm wondering if he...
If that's
I mean,
a
if
nod.
It had been red, it would have been really obvious.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I doubt it, but I'm wondering if it was like a nod. I don't know. It was an interesting choice. There wasn't
Speaking
really
Speaking of alternative theories...
Yeah.
Mickey Mouse, and we would know if it was Mickey Mouse if there was a handprint that only had three fingers and a thumb.
Did you write that down?
No.
You did write it down.
No.
Don't lie to me. I written in your notes.
No. Not at all.
Did you just want to acknowledge the fact that Mickey has three fingers and a thumb?
No, because I think it'd be funny if there was a handprint and it had three fingers and a thumb, and they were like, it's Mickey.
There's a guy with a detective with a cigar. Well,
it's some rascally mouse that did this.
That mouse again. That one with the high-pitched voice.
His girlfriend's Minnie. They hang out at this bar downtown.
He works on some sort of a boat.
It's a tugboat captain.
It's a steamboat.
He's friends with a duck and a dog that talks and drives a car. The duck doesn't wear pants.
They're a pretty goofy
Something's
bunch.
Going on. There's fingers. They're in a wolf pack of some sort. It's funny.
There
okay,
we go.
Titles.
Oh.
Should I do mine? Because they're not that great.
Mine aren't very good. We can do switch off.
Okay.
I had good ones for the Patreon episode. Not so much for this. I tried a long time to get someplace with Whirlpool. Nothing that wasn't obvious. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I got a new catchphrase, which is, Whirlpool, we get the stains out of your dirtiest cops.
Very good, and you're utilizing your colon, and I like it.
I used the colon. Yeah, I learned.
Yep, you're going to have some regularity with that. Sorry, I'm done. That's my only poop joke.
I got it. There you go. But here's one that's good.
Okay.
Jagged Little Kill.
Oh, there you go. Okay, we're done. That's it. I'm writing
that's
it
down. That's good, right?
Yep.
And then I had
a song.
What do
you mean yours aren't very good?
I had a song, too.
Oh.
You ready?
Well, yeah.
Okay. Everywhere you look, everywhere is a cop who is super, super shady.
There we go.
It's okay, perfect. Wait, let me try again. Everywhere you look, everywhere is a sheriff who's stealing pills from the county. No?
Yeah. I like it.
Who's being super, super racist.
Can I do that? All of the above, yes. Do you think he was racist, or do you think he just, like, had a beef with that guy?
I think he had a beef with several of those people, and suspicions are high that it's racism.
Really?
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah. Okay, do you do your tales?
They're not good. I had no mouse in the big house. I don't know. Yeah, I was tired. I don't know what happened to me. And then I had U.S. factory-made murder. Don't know. Your titles were excellent. I don't have any titles today.
Okay.
Do you have tweets? I hope you have good tweets.
I do. Okay. Let's start off with Tammy, our dear friend.
Hi, Tammy.
She said, at Date Dateline, SOS, I'm being mocked and sabotaged while playing bingo by Josh Mankiewicz, hashtag show the hanky. Because there's one shot where it's like almost like chest up, but you can't see the hanky.
Oh.
So she was very upset. And Josh tweeted back, ha 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 ha.
He was
full on taunting her. And then Josh. She tweeted later, she goes, hello, Mr. Josh Mankiewicz. I cannot see one of your hankies when you are interviewing her sister. It's cut off in the shot. What color is it? Are you wearing one? Trying to win bingo over here. I love Tammy so much.
Good job, Tammy.
She takes it really seriously, and I love it so much.
Good.
Nikki Bay for Life. So how does your family dinner look after you've accused your brother of possibly being your sister's killer?
Yeah.
Awkward. Rebecca Crook. If you cut my hair when you murder me, I'll haunt you.
Well.
Fan of Dallas, sir. I'm thinking pot smokers aren't going to beat you, shoot you, hogtie you, and cut your hair. Too much work.
Seriously. And
then, middle is Martha wrote, they will steal all the tater tots from your freezer.
Yeah, they will.
Citizen Janny wrote, so Mr. Detective is now managing a McDonald's and he's still sporting the long arm of the law look, Lord. And then one chicklet wrote, I imagine he's not known as a kind boss.
Right.
And Robert said, heaven help you if you take too many ketchup packets at that McDonald's.
Yeah.
Because seriously. You know, he like misses having authority. And so he's getting off on the authority he has as the manager at the McDonald's. And he's being a total douchebag, I think, to his underlings and his, like, people that shop there.
I disagree.
Really?
Nope. I think he's totally phoning it in. I think he hardly ever shows up. I think he's got an assistant manager that'll do all the work for him. And I think he's hardly ever there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't really matter now because he is flipping fries in the
Slammer?
Commissary of... prison, whatever they call that place. It's not a commissary.
I don't think they have fries. I think he's flipping cup of noodle.
There we go. Yeah, sure. Sherry said, the cop is really pondering in that parking lot.
Many times. Multiple times of pondering B-roll.
Cyber Rose 2014 said, why is that damn detective always in the bushes?
What did I say? It's so many times outside.
Wandering. I know. Laura says, Detective O'Connell confusedly meandering in this parking lot is just absurd. Is he lost? Did he get a contact high?
I don't know what he's doing.
He got a contact high from that apartment. And now he's just wandering.
What is he doing? Sunglasses on, sunglasses off, sunglasses in hand.
He had to shake it up for the look of
reading glasses in hand. Oh my goodness.
Sherry again, who's Buckeye Girl 25, said she was smoking marijuana when the cop knocked on her door. I'm just imagining that episode of The Office when Dwight found part of a joint in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Summer of Soaps and said, I'm sorry, Carmela. I guess you just have random taste in clothes. There were lots of people apologizing to Carmela because they were all referencing their earlier tweets when they were like, I thought she did it. This girl did it. She's wearing a hoodie. She totally did it.
I was the only one. I did not. I thought the hoodie was too nice. I was like, nah, they're not giving her Puma.
You're a connoisseur of hoodies. Kim Sterical says the evidence points to O'Connell being a racist.
Yeah, for real.
Katie the Human, who's our listener, who loves Disney, everything's about Disney, all her pictures, she said, someone would think something fishy had Someone would know something fishy happened to me if I wasn't wearing a Mickey Mouse t-shirt. They would be like, she's not wearing a Disney shirt. Something is terribly wrong.
Wow.
It's like if I was wearing, like, what's something I do not like? Like a Nickelback shirt. You'd probably be like, there you go. Or a shirt that has that guy on that Invisalign commercial that I hate. If I had his face on my shirt.
If you could send it to me, it'd be helpful because I can't relate to it.
The guy?
Yeah.
He's just a normal guy. He's done absolutely nothing to me.
You said you've seen the brand a million times, but you can't remember it, so I can't
look
it up.
Smile Direct, I think.
Thank you. There we go.
I think it's Smile Direct.
Now I got it.
Or Smiles Direct.
Okay.
Oh. You're going to be mad about this. Which always makes me so happy. Mm-hmm. Don Kerr said, someone at Whirlpool, huh? It'll all come out in the wash.
All right.
Meredith Walters said, is this detective related to Uncle Jesse with the last name? First, Aunt Becky gets into legal trouble, and then we find out Uncle Jesse has a cousin in law enforcement.
Ooh, we totally forgot to talk about the one fashion police thing that was great about Kotsopoulos. He's wearing his badge around the neck the whole time.
The necklace.
The neck
thing.
Badge.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good look. It was really cool. I like that. We don't see it that often anymore. And he's like, sometimes we see it in older detectives or older police officers,
yes.
But he's kind of young. It was surprising, but it was neat.
Janine Garofalo has a whole routine about how the cops on Law & Order like made that switch from the badge being in the wallet to being on the necklace.
They
wear it on the necklace, and she's like, it's really sexy.
Yes, it is. Badge the necklace. Shame. Although it's probably really difficult to maneuver if you're leaning over to look at a body
it
and you've got
heavy.
It on a chain. Yeah.
It's like a wrapper with a gold chain on
have
it.
Have you ever felt them? They're heavy. They have weight to it.
That's going to hurt your neck after a while.
Well, he's on interview, though. He's got to wear it.
Yeah, that's true. He can't just flip it up to show Josh, like, I'm a cop.
No,
like
he's wearing it high.
He's
too.
Wearing
he's
it high.
Wearing
yeah.
It. It's high and tight. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And then last but not least is Christine, Expressions by C, said, Whirlpool be like, it was this guy. And then a picture of the Maytag repairman. I can't say it. And a picture of the Maytag repairman. You know, the guy with the hat and he's in all those commercials.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's the killer.
But Meyer is like, you take one look at him and you're like, well, it was clearly you.
If he didn't do this, he did something else.
He did something. Cause
he did
not
something
good.
Somewhere.
No, yeah, there's someone's hurt.
If not, he's at least cyberbullying someone. He's a troll.
Yeah, at the very least. Yeah. I hate to say that. I hate to say it. But it's true.
Oh, no, it's true.
All right.
I don't know why you hate to say it.
Because I don't want to judge someone just by the way they look. But in this case, Daniel Myers looks like...
We are fully going to judge him. Okay, awesome. I think that's all we had, right?
Yep.
Thank you so much to Claire for this episode. She didn't suggest this episode. We just are doing this episode and dedicating it to her. Just to be clear.
Thanks, Claire.
We love you, Claire.
Clear for Claire.
Follow us. What did you say?
We're being clear for Claire.
Thank you. Okay. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. We have funny conversations all week long. Check out our Patreon page and check us out at CrimeCon. You can come see us in real life using the code DateDateLine19. And don't watch alone. Watch with your Maytag repairman. Watch while pondering in the bushes.
Watch with Danielle. She's
go to Sandusky.
It. Yeah.
And watch with Danielle.
She needs a friend.
She thinks she has a new boyfriend who is also 20 years younger than her and a fitness model on Instagram, but he's her boyfriend.
Go to Sandusky and give Danielle a stern talking to. And if you don't know what we're talking about.
Where have you been? Why aren't you watching 90 Day Fiancé?
It's good on you. If you don't know what we're talking about in this case, it's good because it means that your world hasn't been tarnished by 90 Day Fiancé.
You know about real important things like who incels are.
Yeah, it means you're pure at heart. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Bye. Everywhere you look, everywhere there's a heart, there's a heart.